Hello, Susanna Lopez here, actor turned barrister turned broadcaster turned true crime writer and proud member of Sisters in Crime Australia. Welcome to the Scarlet Stiletto Bites podcast. For over 30 years now, Sisters in Crime Australia has supported our women crime writers, both true crime and fiction, and some criminal literary talent has been unearthed. Among many awards, there's an annual prize for short crime fiction, the Scarlet Stiletto Awards. And for those of you who prefer your stories by ear, in 2023 we commenced this podcast series, Scarlet Stiletto Bites, to celebrate the sisters' 30th anniversary. Each story is short, but not always sweet. Expect twisted tales, quirky humour, and a frisson of feminism. Please support us by following, sharing, reviewing, and generally spreading the word. We have no paywall. Today's episode takes me back to my old acting days when I was remorselessly cast as a copper or a lawyer. So I hope you two enjoy today's episode, Froth and Trouble or Sunhill Blues by Margaret Pollock. 2003 winner, Scarlet Stiletto for Crime in Verse. There was tension at the station, for the word had got around, that soon their harsh grey world would turn to soap. Could be Rinso, Lux or Omo, it was difficult to say, but industrial strength with perfume was the hope. "I've been busy nabbing villains for 20 years or more," said June to colleague Debbie with a frown. "If they think I'm going to prance around in flimsy negligees, they should realise that I will turn them down. It's not that I've got stretch marks, though there might be one or two, or even that my boobs are not still pert. But I've been trained to tackle toe rags, toms and pimps and narcs, not to simper, smile and sob and flounce and flirt." "It's not all bad," said Reggie, slicking back his hair, with Brill Cream, which was past its use-by date. "If romance is on the menu, their leading man is here. I'll willingly surrender to my fate." "It's not you they choose," said Chandler. "I'm sure that's not the deal. I've got charm. I've got charisma. I'll advance. Although some might think me ruthless, I've got loads of sex appeal. I'll be first to get inside the lady's pants." But the rest were not so cocky. Des and Jim and Dave all muttered to each other over beer, while Cass and June and Polly did more than rant and rave. They made plans when no one else was there to hear. Polly was most strident, though usually slow to rile. She said she couldn't take it any more. "I've worked night shift, I've worked day shift, even double shifts on Sundays, and now the bleeding scumbags want to show me in me undies. I'll fight these new script writers tooth and claw." Then Cassie nodded sagely, when June said with a smile, "They think they're smart, but we're much smarter still. If we three stick together, we'll sail through stormy weather. We're wily, we three women of Sun Hill. The writers think we're dopey. That will let them turn us soapy. But we'll soon prove that all of them are duds. We'll not let some faceless hacks rewrite our world behind our backs. There's no way they're going to drown our soul in suds. We fight crime for them all day. They've got no right to watch us play. So we'll nip their grotesque plot lines in the bud. If they want to send me clubbing, then those writers need a drubbing," said Cass. "I don't want things to change. Though some might think it boring, I spend most evenings snoring or wash my hair. Most viewers do the same. My professional life so crushing, always dashing, always rushing. Do they think I only treat it as a game? I heard they've got some lurk of me finding love at work," said June. "It really is a joke. There's something badly missing if they think they'll get me kissing Jim, Reg or Matt or any other bloke who works here at the station. We must use imagination and make damn sure their poxy scheme goes broke. So, while the men were getting pissed, the women made a list of crimes and crims and scams and cons they'd known, of successful schemes and failures, axe murderers and blackmailers, of people they could contact on the phone. Although some were doing gravy or had even joined the Navy, they worked all night until their list had grown. While the blokes are at the pub, we'll appropriate some bugs from CID, said Paul as dawn drew near. While those writer hacks are eating, at tomorrow's lunchtime meeting, everything they talk about we'll hear. So while the writers munched on sangers, drafting outlines for cliffhangers, the coppers listened closely to each word. They learned the writers' names, Jeffrey, Claire and James, and shuddered as the plots got more absurd. Let's go, said June. We'll tail them, and after that we'll nail them. We'll stitch them up, then make them come undone. If they've secrets, we'll detect it, and when they least expect it, we'll make those scabby scribblers turn and run. Now, Jeffrey's case was easy, for his private life was sleazy, and the next time that he was whipped by Madam Lash, he didn't know that June was waiting, taking photos through a grating, until he got a call from Paul and Cass. You've been a naughty fella. We know you've got a wife. We'll tell her what you've done, unless you meet all our demands. We'll circulate the photos of your escapades in Soho, unless you put the plot back in our hands. Poor Jeff responded quickly. He was feeling rather sickly. He didn't want his peccadilloes known. And a photo of his body perched upon a potty was not the kind of picture to be shown, not even to his mother. But what about the others? He asked. The scripts aren't mine alone. We'll be dealing with them later, said Cass, handing him a gaiter that he'd left behind at brothel number 2. You'd better heed our warning, or we'll come round some morning with the full transcript of everything you do. Claire Higgins lived in Surrey and was busy cooking curry with her lover Raj when June and Cass dropped in. She spilt the coriander when in from the veranda barged Polly with a face which looked like sin. How can you have the gumption to write about corruption and try to make my mates behave like jerks? We're sick of all your japes, your fantasies and rapes. We're honest cops who don't get many perks. We've come here to inform you, to caution you and warn you that all intrusions to our private lives must cease. You must treat us like professionals, not sinners in confessionals, or we swear we'll never give you any peace. Even Raj looked frightened, his tanned complexion whitened, while Claire shook as if surely she'd seen a ghost. You can't help feeling tension when three of your inventions invade your house and give your scripts a roast. The last of the trifecta was James, the script director, whom they visited at home near Putney Grange. Unless you want retirement, you'll adhere to our requirements, or you could end up slowly rotting in a drain. Remember Frankie Miller, the suspected serial killer? He's still at large and sharpening up his skills. He's agreed to chop and slice you, so if this thought does not entice you, we suggest you hacks stop treating us like dills. But James got quite indignant and asked, how can any figments of my imagination think they're real? At which our coppers laughed. They said, look out on the path. Here comes Frankie, so you'd better cut a deal. In a mood of high elation, they drove back to the station, jubilant because they'd made each writer swear that they'd be rostered 9 to 5 now. They could enjoy their private lives now, and the nation would not see their underwear. So remember when you're writing that there's little point in fighting any characters who leap up large as life. Don't treat them with derision, though your plots might need revision. Heed what they say and you'll avoid much strife. The end. Thanks so much for listening. We'd love to get your feedback, and we'd love to reach more listeners. Our website is sistersincrime.org.au, and our email address is admin@sistersincrime.org.au. Until next Friday then, when we bring you another scintillating story from Australian women crime creators.